Welcome to this special edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. As part of our 2024 election coverage, Delaware Public Media is offering a series of candidate conversations. We reached out to all candidates filed to run in the races for U.S. House and Senate, as well as governor, lieutenant governor, and insurance commissioner, and invited them to sit down with us. Candidates in each race are being asked about the same set of topics to allow you to get to know them and compare them. The interviews you hear here on The Green are edited for time. Full conversations are online at DelawarePublic.org. The race for U.S. House features five candidates seeking to replace Democrat Lisa Blunt Rochester, who is running for U.S. Senate. Today, we focus on the two candidates who responded to our request for an interview, Republican Danya Hall and Democrat Sarah McBride. Republican James Whalen and Democrats Earl Cooper and Elias Weir did not respond to Delaware Public Media's interview requests. So we start with Republican Danya Hall. Hall previously ran for lieutenant governor in 2020, losing to Democrat Bethany Hall Long by a 59-41% margin. Hall also ran for the state Senate in 2018 and lost in the Republican primary for the 17th district seat. So let's talk about some of these issues that you've touched on and some others as well. We'll start with the economy, because voters consistently list that as a top issue. The Biden administration touts low unemployment, strong job numbers, along with some other positive economic indicators as signs the country is headed in the right direction. But inflation, higher prices for many everyday goods leave many people still struggling at this juncture. What would you support Congress doing to promote economic growth if you're elected?
Well, you definitely hit the nail right on the head. Inflation is on the ballot this cycle. People are wanting to know that they're going to have someone who can identify with the pains of the price at the pump, the price of the grocery store cash register, the mounting debt that's sitting on their tables. Housing is anything but affordable. Healthcare is anything but affordable. We're looking in Delaware, where we are seeing another recession and foreclosures are on the rise and people are losing their homes. These are things that I have actually experienced firsthand and know that we have to do some things that will be corrective measures. First of all, the Inflation Reduction Act, that has exacerbated inflation tremendously, where they were looking to actually have the opposite happen. Just wasteful spending has made it so that those numbers have increased and passed those costs in goods and services onto the consumer. And so we have to find places where we can curtail the wasteful spending. I think that being able to have transparency in government and being able to take a good look at where the spending cuts can happen is critical. I bring a business background with an acumen in finance, and I actually served for a number of years in the United States Department of Labor for Veterans Employment and Training Services, where I was responsible for the oversight of the federal dollars that actually tracked into the state's budget. And during that time, we had a quarterly reporting system. So if you didn't meet the requirements to remain funded, you lost your funding. And I think that that speaks volumes to what we can do at Congress at the national level in Congress to be able to make some changes and just being able to take a look at where we're spending and figure out where we can cut that wasteful spending.
How about on the revenue side with taxes? What are your feelings on what Congress should be looking at in terms of tax policy?
Well, I support job growth taxes. I think that in the small business community, again, I'm a small business owner, I think that we need to do some things that will position us well for growth in our economy. And those things will come from dealing with the regulatory guidelines as it applies to business. As you're probably well aware, in the state of Delaware, the state of Delaware is the largest employer and small businesses are the second largest mm-hmm. employer. And so being able to do things that advantageously position our small businesses for growth will stimulate our economy in ways that are meaningful to Delawareans here.
Let's talk about immigration. There was a bipartisan border reform bill ready to go before many Republicans backed away at the behest of former President Trump. Would you support that bill if elected?
I think that we absolutely need to close our southern border immediately. Mm-hmm. I think that the policies that were under the Trump administration were working for us. And I think that under the Biden administration, we opened our borders and we allowed a large influx, which has caused a devastating effect to us economically here and our safety as well. I would support measures that would immediately close our borders.
So you would probably go beyond what that bill is looking to do.
Absolutely.
The former president has also at this point discuss mass deportations if he is elected. Is that something that you would support?
I think that when we look at deporting people who don't belong here and obviously did not come in by the correct means to this country, I think that we have no other alternative but to find ways of making sure that those people who illegally crossed our borders return to the places where they came from.
Okay. Following the Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade, the issue of abortion was left to the states, and that has created a patchwork of approaches across the country and leaving questions about other related reproductive issues like IVF. Do you feel Congress should step in some way on this issue?
I think that it needs to remain a state's issue, and I'm comfortable leaving at the states to make those decisions and what's best for each state.
So Delaware right now is a state that is, you know, much more open to abortion and reproductive rights. You're fine with allowing Delaware to continue doing what it's doing if that's what the will of the General Assembly and the population.
Absolutely.
Is okay. Want to talk a little foreign policy? Israel and Gaza. President Biden's been seeking a ceasefire in Gaza for some time, to no avail so far. What approach do you feel the U.S. should be taking in approaching this conflict?
Well, you know, again, my family has a long history mm-hmm. of military service, and I think that just having skin in the game that way makes a difference in approach. I think that when I look at my own family, one of my younger sons that just recently separated from the Air Force was actually serving in Jordan on those same sands where those soldiers recently lost their lives. And when I think about what we need to be doing overseas in our foreign policy, I would definitely not like to see us have a huge ground presence in these countries. I do support us being an ally to Israel and doing what is necessary to make sure that we keep that relationship strong.
The war in Ukraine continues as well. Where do you stand on continuing support to Ukraine as it seeks to fend off the Russian invasion? It's now about 2.5 years old.
Well, again, I am not a strong proponent for ground troops. I've looked at some of the proposals that have been made, and I don't want to see us commit for 10 years either to financially back any of those things either. I think that it is quite obvious that over the last several years that we have weakened our position of strength, and I think that there is strength through peace, and I think that there is a necessary means to make sure that we are not looking weak on the global stage as well. So I would like to see us do some things that would strategically place us back in a position of strength, and I would also like us to do what we can to make sure that we don't overextend ourselves in these areas militarily.
So on the side of things that we can do, are there some things you would suggest to portray that position of strength better?
I think that the financial side and providing resources, I think that there are some things that we could do strategically to help in those regions without overextending ourselves to a commitment that it puts us in country for the next decade.
I was going to say, so, I mean, when you talk about specifically Ukraine, do you feel, is it fair to say you support continuing aid and support short-term? But you would want to assess it kind of on an ongoing basis.
Absolutely.
Okay. Curious what you feel Congress and the federal government's role is in climate change. What should the federal government and Congress specifically, if you're elected, be doing to address the issues that surround climate change?
Well, I know that when I take a look at things here locally, we have a renewable energy portfolio standard that currently we didn't meet the deadline that we had originally set for ourselves. And it kind of kicked it down the road a little bit, about 5 years. We don't here in Delaware create enough of our own green energy. And I think that we have to be a little bit more strategic as it concerns to our region, how we approach renewable energy portfolio standards, because we're pricing ourselves out of the market in a lot of regards. And I think the average consumer is feeling that pinch again economically with the electric bill and the gas bill. And we've talked about going to the EV mandates, and it's just not sustainable. And I think that while we are having the conversation about moving more toward green energy, there are certainly some things that we could do that move us away from the more harmful fossil fuels and be able to, again, position ourselves well to where we can find that compromise. But again, we have to have those discussions that position us.
Since we're talking about a federal office in Congress, would you be supportive of more incentives, tax breaks or incentives from the federal government to promote those renewables to perhaps lower the pinch, as you were calling it, on consumers on their electric bill? Would you be in favor of doing something like that, where maybe the onus goes off the local consumer if there's some federal incentives or tax breaks to promote that type of move toward renewables?
I think anytime you have a conversation around money, you have to figure out where the balance is again. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to say with one broad brushstroke that, you know, we could just offer an incentive at the federal level that would offset the local level. Again, I think that, you know, that calls for us to have a little bit more in-depth conversation and take a look at the numbers and figure out where those price points are and exactly what strategically we could do.
But it's a conversation you'd like to have.
Absolutely.
This is a time where there seems to be a stronger distrust of governments and perhaps maybe even more specifically of politicians, and that has led to calls for more transparency and accountability. If elected, what role do you feel you could personally play as a member of Congress in delivering greater transparency and accountability to build trust in government?
Well, that's been something that I have been advocating for a long time. And I absolutely agree that the more transparent and open that we can be about where our spending is, that promotes nothing but trust. And when people feel that you are not hiding anything or being dishonest about where the spending is going, you know, there's always the thought that there are the behind the scenes closed door deals that people just don't have privy to. I think that if we establish measurable outcomes and metrics to be able to really see the impact for where we are spending, I think that that will also communicate a level of sincerity about being open and transparent, because at the end of the day, you'll be able to see that the intended end user is actually being favorably impacted. And if they're not being favorably impacted, then we need to go back to the drawing board and get rid of those things that aren't working or fix them.
It feels like a lot of this distrust or just concerns about government is fueled by rhetoric, right? In the wake of the assassination attempt on former President Trump, there was a lot of discussion of people need to cool things down, lower the temperature a little bit. It doesn't seem like very much of that has taken. Do you feel we've reached a very critical point in terms of our democracy, and is democracy somewhat at risk the way we discuss politics and the way the rhetoric drives what we do in government?
I have a very personal feeling about the rhetoric, and I believe that sometimes it's divisive intentionally. And sometimes I think by polarizing people with knee-jerk reactions and putting people in corners where there is no consensus, that there's not a need to pay attention to the issues that really matter at the end of the day. And I feel very strongly that we have to have voices of reason that will pull people out of the polar opposite sides of the room to have a conversation that will be able to find the solution that we need that would best benefit the people. And I think that that is a necessary skill to have. And I make light of it sometimes. But, you know, with 10 children in my own walls, I've had some pretty heated squabbles inside of my own living room. So I can understand how being able to have the spirit of compromise put in play and be able to bring people together to get the work done that's in the best interest of the people.
I do want to close out by asking if there's an issue we haven't discussed that you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle and how you would address it if elected.
Something that's not getting addressed. You know, everything but the kitchen sink is being addressed. And I don't think that there's an area that we have necessarily not covered. One of the things that I would always encourage voters to do is their homework. Do the deep dive on your candidates. I've been hashtagging my post over the years, vote your values and not your party affiliation. You know, there's some good Democrats, there's some good Republicans out there, and there's even some independents that are running. So, you know, it's incumbent upon all of us to do our homework and research our candidates, find out where they stand, give them a call. If, you know, it's not on the site, I encourage people to call me. People are always excited that the number that's on my website actually rings to my personal cell phone. So I'm happy to answer questions regarding where I stand on the issues that are important to you. So I encourage people to reach out to those folks that are vying for their vote and find out if they're worthy of it.
That's Republican candidate for U.S. House Danielle Hall. Our full conversation with her is available at DelawarePublic.org. Up next, our candidate conversation with one of the Democrats in the U.S. House race, State Senator Sarah McBride. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.